Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good Friday. That's the New York Knicks team we wanted to see. We will get into that game as the morning goes on. They take a 2-1 lead in this first round series against the Pistons. Got a little dicey at the end there, and the refs almost gave us one of these controversial endings we'd be talking about forever, but luckily they did not. The NFL draft, as big and a spectacle as it's ever been in Green Bay of all places, over 200,000 fans showing up there. And we finally know what the Jets and Giants have done. Abdul Carter, of course, who we all have heard from everybody evaluating him that he's a can't miss. And the Giants trade back in to get Jackson Dart, which I hate. And then the Jets go with Membu, who's a big tackle, like that Jets offensive line. Those guys are all first and second round picks. So hopefully that's a nice little base there for Justin Fields. But I don't think the Giants needed to trade back in. I don't think there was anybody else that was going to take Jackson Dart ahead of them. And I don't particularly like him as a prospect the more I learn about him. But hell, here we go again. Welcome to the club. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I just want to stand up and I want to recreate something for you. And I want to tell me what this makes you think about.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I'm going to stand up here in studio.
You're standing up.
And I feel like I'm on the football field.
All right.
And I'm the quarterback.
Okay.
What's that? I'll do it again okay. So you can hear it.
All right.
And so the people out there in their cars can hear it.
Yeah.
You clapping. Yep, you clapped.
Right, because this is what Jackson Dart did in college.
Every single play.
He's a little bit of a mute of a quarterback because he's one of those robo quarterbacks in college where everybody turns to the sideline and looks at the plays,
mm-hmm.
and then they stand up there, and then they clap to get the snap. They don't do that in the NFL.
Nope.
So he's got a year. He's not going to play right away. That's fine. It's all good. And Brian Daboll got his quarterback that he wanted out of this very lackluster quarterback class.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, you know, he's going to have to learn how to become an NFL QB. Now, he's a little bit older, so that's good. He's more mature. He's played a lot of football. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. Seems like a really nice kid. I'm not going to kill the kid. I want to give him every opportunity to be a success. But he's here to learn the first year. And, you know, I think of a guy like him. When he gets in there and he sees Brian's offense and what he has to do at the line of scrimmage, maybe take a snap from center every now and again, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be an adjustment for him.
Yeah, and the reason why we know about the snap count thing is he did the Gruden QB camp. I sent Jerry the audio for that because there's just a couple bleeps in there because John Gruden is quietly beside himself. The fact that that's all he did as a snap count was clap. And there's some other things in there that Gruden really didn't like as far as him not being able to get down and putting himself in bad situations, get hit and get hurt. I just think this is another example of a QB needy team doing something that they shouldn't do because they need a quarterback and they weren't in a position to get a good one. So, sort of like what the Giants did with Daniel Jones back in the day. Now, it's amazing because according to Adam Schefter, the Giants made a big push to trade up to get Cam Ward number one, and the Titans said no. So they really like Cam Ward. Last year, we saw them on Hard Knocks talk to the New England Patriots. I'm sure if it wasn't the Commanders, they might have talked to them as well. But obviously, the intra-division stuff is tough. They want to trade up and get Drake May. They won meaningless games in the last two seasons that knocked them out of that. Now, you got to play to win every game, yada, 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 all that stuff. And sometimes this franchise turning around thing has a lot of luck involved. And they got screwed out of quarterbacks they really wanted twice. And now they're sitting there trading back in for no reason to get Jackson Dart. No one else was taking him.
So I know that. So here we are. And last night, ESPN opens their draft coverage. And I don't know if you saw the opening, but because the Knick game was going on at the same time, I wanted to see how they were going to open the whole thing. And the ESPN coverage, forget about Roger Goodell and those guys in the bicycles. That's a Green Bay thing, and that's fine. But what I was talking about is the way that they started fawning over Shedeur Sanders before anything even happened. And by the way, we all knew Cam Ward was going to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
You would think that you would start with Cam Ward. You would talk about Cam Ward. You would talk about all the intangibles that he brings. It's his night. He's the number one pick. But as much as I like Mel Kiper and those guys and Mike Greenberg and everybody else, I mean, it was just fawning over Shedeur Sanders for the first, 3 minutes of the opening. And I'm like, you guys got to be kidding me. This is what you're starting with?
Yeah, and it kept going. I went right to the NFL Network after that. I mean, Louis Riddick has this, it's like sick obsession with Colorado, Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders. And it's just one of these, reciprocal relationships where Deion kisses Louis Riddick's ass and back and forth. It was nauseating. All these other kids are up there realizing their dream, and all the fans are watching to see what their team is doing, and they're focusing on a guy who fell out of the first round, which I don't quite understand.
And I do. I know,
but you alluded yesterday there was something else that was going on. It has to be, because going into this thing, there wasn't a single person who had evaluated Jackson Dart ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Not a single person. Not a single mock draft.
Not until you sit down and you meet these guys and you go over and you meet them again, you meet them again, you meet them again, you keep doing your homework, you keep talking to them. That's the one thing that they have over all of us.
Yeah.
You know, they sit down and they talk amongst themselves specifically about these particular players. We as media, especially where we are, we're in the outer circle. And, you know, we do have contacts within the media, within the NFL, and we can get some information, but we don't have nearly the amount of information that these coaching staffs, these general managers and scouts have over us. So, and I'm not saying that's the way it is for those guys that are doing the draft for either NFL Network or ESPN. I don't know how deep their knowledge goes. I do know that guys like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, they know what the hell they're talking about. But sometimes even they can be biased because they talk themselves into something. And again, we're dealing with human beings here, and you just never know what the hell else is going on, you know, around somebody and the discussions that people are having about them. I fell to the second round. I know how Shedeur Sanders feels. It's embarrassing. You feel like I felt honestly that I was going to be a top 10 pick. I fell out of the top 10. I fell out of the top 20. I fell out of the top 30. And next thing you know, I'm sitting there waiting for a phone call. And thankfully, that day was the same day because the draft was, I think, was three rounds in the first day. So I got picked the first day, but it was a long 4.5 hour wait for me. So this, unfortunately, for Shedeur Sanders, and I hate the fact that it's happening to this kid. I hate it happens to any of these kids. But he has a little bit of egg on his face, a little bit of humble pie in his face, and maybe he has a chip on his shoulder now, and maybe just maybe you'll get the best out of him just simply because he now has a wake-up call that, you know, dad ain't making the pick. That dad's not your coach. Dad is you know, going to be his, you know, do his thing in Colorado. And you now have to be out on your own, and you have to be a kid that's got to grow up into a man relatively quickly. If you want to make it in the NFL, you are not going to be given anything in the NFL. The entitlement era right now is basically over for you. I mean, because the last 4 years, he's been the entitled one along with Travis Hunter. You know, they went to Jackson State together. They were immediately starters, and Travis Hunter played both ways. They go to Colorado to get together, so they're up, stepping up in competition, and the same thing happens. But now it's reality. This is reality. Something happened to him somewhere along the line, interview process, pro day, combine, whatever it may be. He's got to deal with that now, and it's got to be a little bit of humble pie.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I don't know how you don't have that look at it, and the chip on his shoulder might be the thing that fuels him. We've seen that many times with other prospects in the draft. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up and starts his career. But he's not a New York Giant, and he's not going to be a New York Giant. He still may end up on the New York Jets. I don't think that's a total non-possibility. It's maybe something that could happen, a small chance of that happening. But it's going to be Jackson Dart. I really do feel like the Giants have this connection to their past that ends up hurting them in the future when they try to make the young guys the old guys. Meaning that when they saw Daniel Jones, they're like, this guy's just like Eli. He talks like him, and he'll be perfect. Nope, he's not just like Eli. Oh, this kid's from Ole Miss. He's just like Eli. No, he's not. Stop. And just because you draft a bunch of pass rushers doesn't mean they're all going to turn into the 2007 Giants, by the way. Now, I can't knock the Abdul Carter pick, but the fact they picked up that loser Kayvon Thibodeau's fifth-year option is another dumb thing that they did yesterday. Trade his ass out of here.
Well,
I think
he was at a Giant draft party last night, so they couldn't do that. That would have been embarrassing.
Well, obviously, they obviously knew that they were going to do that. That's why they had him at the draft party. But if he were drafted by the previous regime and had the career that he had had up until this point, his ass would have been gone. But it's embarrassing for these guys, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who draft those guys high, and then they're like, you know, before they make it to their fifth-year option, they jettison them out of here. It makes them look like crap.
Well, I also think that there's going to be, well, he's got another year to prove it now that they picked up his fifth-year option. But, you know, you got to believe, you got to be incentivized. And it sounds to me like Abdul Carter is going to be more of that hybrid guy now.
Yeah, which is great. He should be a great player. Everybody believes he'll be a great player. The foot thing doesn't seem like an issue. There's nothing you could say about that. But I'm just.
But neither of us are like, all right, so you're all verklempt over the trading back up to get Jackson Dart. You and I, and I want to say 99% of the fans out there are not shocked with who the Jets or the Giants picked with their third and seventh overall pick. We are not shocked at all.
No.
As a matter of fact, they asked us here yesterday, I think Izzo asked us.
Yeah.
And I remember you going, Mimbo!
Well, of course. I mean, everybody had that. So. Everybody had that, you know? So, but yeah, the Jackson Dart thing. So, I mean, of course, we had heard yesterday, and then what's his name? Shane's kid.
Carson
Shane.
Get that kid on the phone now. I want to talk to that kid. So, that kid's got inside information, man.
Right. Well, of course. Carson Shane put out the Jackson Dart thing. So I was prepared for it, that they liked him. And I was also prepared for it to be a smokescreen, too. But so it wasn't all that surprising that they ended up with him. But now I'm thinking, like you look at these teams. So they got duped by the Rams because people were saying McVay loves Dart. Well, Connor Hughes came out and said there was no way in hell that the Rams were taking Jackson Dart, according to his league sources. And, oh, by the way, you know, they ended up trading out of their pick as well. So then you look at all of these other situations here. All right, so the Falcons traded up, fine. Then you got the Ravens not taking a quarterback. Lions not taking a quarterback. Commanders not taking a quarterback. Bills not taking a quarterback.
That doesn't mean that they wouldn't be trading up with the Browns, who I thought the Browns actually finally did a smart thing. Because you remember when the season was over and Myles Garrett was unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell you that the Browns should trade Myles Garrett, get more assets back, start rebuilding this team.
Yeah.
And instead of trading Myles Garrett, they essentially traded Travis Hunter to the Jags. And they're going to rebuild their team through the draft by acquiring more draft picks and getting the first-round pick from the Jags next year.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff, I think if you have designs on a quarterback in the future, maybe that quarterback in the future, let's say, is Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not come out next year. I was with Peyton yesterday, and I asked him, so how's Arch doing? He goes, oh, he loves Texas. Everything's great. I said, is he coming out next year? He goes, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. He really didn't know. I mean, as a matter of fact, he said he's really enjoying his time there, and maybe he wants to do what Uncle Peyton and Uncle Eli did and stay in college and enjoy your college time before you have to step into this madness that is called the NFL. But anyway, I thought the Browns did the right thing last night. They traded a premium player to the Jags who had basically wanted him, and that GM down there in Jacksonville was just, you know, pining for a trade. He wanted a trade. He wanted to get Travis Hunter. And then the Browns come away with Mason Graham, who I thought was, you know, another can't-miss, terrific player for the defensive line of the Browns, and then they added more assets. So finally, I felt like the Browns got it right.
Yeah, good for them. They'll still suck for the next 30 years.
I'm just tired of them.
Why are we focusing on the Cleveland Browns right now? They never do anything right.
Because you know why? Because that was a huge trade.
Don't care. They suck. They always suck. They never do anything. They're a bunch of losers. Franchise are worse than the two teams here, for God's sakes. Wasted our breath on the goddamn Cleveland Browns.
Well, it was a big trade last night. You have to admit that.
Okay, well, you know, the bigger trade was the Jackson Dart one, who's pudgy and from Utah, and claps. He's a pudgy Utah clapper. That's what we got. That's what we got here. Use the pudgy. What do you mean? We already did use the pudgy.
Yeah, but I didn't get to you early enough. I was running a little bit late this morning.
Well, yeah, but you were the one who forced it out of me the other day. Yeah, okay.
All right, well, I just didn't get here.
I didn't say I wanted to say it. You're the one who said it. You want me to say it?
No, I don't want you to say it.
But you, yesterday, I said I wasn't going to say it. And then you said, I'll say it, and you went out and said it.
Right, but then I said, I'll say it because that was part of something that you could say. It wasn't something that you couldn't say. You weren't told you couldn't say it.
Well, I said
because you were mixing up what you thought you could say and you couldn't say, and this is in regards to Phil's notes.
Right, but there was one player that he gave you the notes. He said, "Don't say this." And it wasn't that guy.
And it wasn't that.
Right.
That's why I said.
But I still didn't want to say it. You go back. You could play the test.
I know. And I can't get mad at me.
Can't get mad at me with that one.
Dude, I'm not mad at you.
Listen, the pudgy's already out there. It's already out there.
Shut your ass up.
It's already out there. It's in the universe. It's the FAN posted it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all out there. It's already happened.
I just wanted to...
Pudgy's been born into the world.
I just wanted to lay off the pudgy because I did get a phone call yesterday.
Yeah. Well...
And he said, you know, he looked at my notes and used the word pudgy. I said, well, pudgy's a funny word. And Gio likes funny words. And Gio likes to use those words over and over again.
You were in here when he did the same thing. You were here too because
no, I know that. I understand that.
You two guys trying to pin this on me is
hilarious. No. I told him. I said I was the one that A-OK'd the use of the word because that wasn't on the list that you said that we couldn't say on your notes.
Oh, by the way, cat's out of the bag spot. Pudgy's out into the universe.
Tomato, banana, papaya, apple, grape, wild blueberry. Oh, my gosh.
Can't take it back now.
So I had to explain it to him yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had to take the brunt of the heat.
All right.
I absorbed the heat for you.
For me? It wasn't my decision. What are you talking about?
That's what I told him. He thought it was
you. You just said you absorbed the heat for me. The heat shouldn't be on me. I was trying to protect him. You didn't care.
I'm just telling you what I had to deal with yesterday.
Okay.
And I protected you yesterday. I took the slings and arrows because I said it was me who brought the word up because I knew that that was on the scouting report.
All right.
That we were told.
He never said anything not to say that. Right.
I think he forgot that and got that mixed up with something else.
That is true. Yes.
So all I'm saying is that, yes, I said I brought it up. It was my fault because he said he'd tell that little meatball next to you. is in that word.
Oh, that's great. I love that guy. But I yeah. Anyway,
by the way, he may call in this morning, Al, if he has something to get off his chest.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Y'all be on the lookout for Phil Sims.
Yeah, either that or you may want to text him and say, you got something you want to get off your chest.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Now he's a Giant. So now all we're going to hear is how great Jackson Dart is. Come on. You know that. I know that. Whatever he really feels about him will be out the window. I don't know. This is just another example, one of these things. It's just these guys that get overrated, quarterback needy teams. It's just over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's like if you go back to the beginning of this draft and the evaluation, you're like, I don't think Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders are top 10 picks. Okay.
That's what I said, right. Especially compared to last year's picks.
Okay. So if they're not top 10 picks, at that point of the evaluation, where the F was Jackson Dart? Nowhere to be found. I'll answer it for you. But then all of a sudden, we need a quarterback because we won some stupid-ass game against the Indianapolis Colts. So let's trade back in and get this guy
off the
sit. And then as a system quarterback in Lane Kiffin's offense and has no idea what the hell he's doing unless he's looking to the sideline for the coach to give him the play.
All right, well, that's going to have to change. And there's no...
Josh Allen, by the way. It's Josh Allen comparisons.
You were gonna get understand.
Not
that.
Josh
that's just,
Allen.
That's just physical. I'm just saying that he doesn't have to play right away. This is why you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston here. He can sit and do some mop-up duty, whatever it may be, however they decide to use him. But there's no pressure to throw him in there right now. And this is Brian Daboll's, it's his quarterback. This is the guy that he decided out of this draft that they wanted if they couldn't get Cam Ward. So I'm not going to bitch and complain about that because it's one piece of the puzzle. The Giants should have a better defense. There's still some more draft picks to make over the next two days.
It's the most important piece of the puzzle.
You know what? It's okay.
Listen, I know we all want to sit here and couch this thing because he may end up being good, but I'm sorry. I will take the you were wrong all day long. I just think it was stupid. Just like I sat here and I thought that the Vikings taking J.J. McCarthy was stupid. So if anybody sits here and is like, you're hating on the Giants. No, I think what my team did was stupid. I can't stand that little kid. And I don't think he's going to stink.
Well, the thing is that you do have a very strong opinion, which I appreciate, which is what you're supposed to have.
And I may be wrong about it. But I'm not going to sit here and couch every goddamn statement. We'll see what happens. No, this is stupid. And if it works out, it works out. My opinion was stupid. The guy's going to suck in the NFL.
Make it two guys. Is.
He doesn't have it. I'm just telling you right now, you can smell it.
Same high school as Zach Wilson. And we're sending him to get another one of these kids to New Jersey to save a New York football franchise.
And by the way, the kid is not 21.
Oh, my God.
You got to remember, he's 26.
No, he's not 26. Tyler Shuck was 26.
How old is this kid? 23?
I don't even know.
21, I think.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah,
oh, God. Oh, God.
He's 21.
Oh, God.
He's going to be 22 next month, if that
there
helps.
There you go.
It also says here he's pudgy.
On
his Wikipedia. I don't know if it's just a Wikipedia. Anybody can put that up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on this Feel Good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It is a Feel Good Friday, and I got you guys some presents. You see that we have the New York Jet and Giant draft day hats, as everybody, all the guys were putting the hats on last night. My friends at Fanatic sent them over. So, Al, come on in here. I got you a Buccaneers hat. Eddie, I got you a Dolphins hat.
Oh, very nice.
Look at that. I think I lost my Vikings hat on the way to work today.
Oh, no. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, Al, you look good.
Oh, yeah, that fits great.
All right, so give that to Eddie. And Jerry got you a Cowboys
hat. Thank you.
Hat.
That's very nice.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Do you like your Cowboys pick? I kind of like the pick.
Sure. I don't know.
That's offensive guard. Yeah, of course. And they've had a lot of success with offensive linemen.
I'll tell you in 5 years.
I know.
But, yeah, I mean, it's fine. They've done very well drafting linemen the last decade. So yes. I trust them. Stephen Jones does very well in the draft.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But do I know if he's going to be any good? No idea.
Yeah, no, nobody knows.
No clue.
You look good, man.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous you lost.
That is a big hat.
I'm jealous you lost the Vikings one.
That's a big hat. I don't know how
I lost it. I had it. I saw it yesterday. I lost it in transit. I don't know what happened to it.
I mean, Al looks like...
He looks younger, doesn't he?
Yeah.
When he puts the hat on?
Eddie looks good.
Because now I can envision Al with hair.
Eddie's the ponytail through the back? Or, yeah, he's got the ponytail through the back. There you go.
It's pretty good.
Look at you guys.
Well, thank you, Boomer.
Yeah,
very
you're
nice
welcome.
Of you.
Appreciate I'm always it. Thinking about you guys.
Like, Al looks like one of the people that work at Disney that I asked where the Guardians of the Galaxy ride was.
You'd be like, right over there.
I mean, it's amazing how that hat transfers him into ultimate dweeb, like 28-year-old dweeb.
Really?
But he looks younger.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he definitely looks younger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pretty cool.
He looked good in a hat when we used to play softball. You guys remember that?
But that type of hat is not his type of hat.
Yeah, I have a very specific type of hat, like a low, like it's got a
form
very
fitting.
Low. Yeah, form fitting, yeah. Yep.
What do you think about Eddie? Eddie looks good with that hat.
I'm not used to Eddie in a hat. It's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, because of the ponytail through the thing. That's not a great situation.
You're like, I want to take it off of you. That's the way I feel about it right now.
I think it looks good. I think you all look good in the hats, boys.
I will say that the hat is not the problem. It's the people we're putting into the hats.
Okay.
But yes, the hats are beautiful hats, and I'm jealous. Hope you find them. Hopefully it's in your apartment somewhere.
I forget where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's clearly talking to G right now.
Yeah, I can't say it.
Can't say it. And he's bouncing in there. That must have been good.
What do you have here for us, Jerry? I know you got a lot of stuff.
I do have a lot of stuff, yes.
And you're brought... Where the update is brought to you by...
Can't even talk.
I'll get to that in a second. So let's get to this. I'm going to take this in sequence. All right. Since Abdul Carter went first, I was going to play Roger Goodell saying it, but why? So we talked a lot about Carter being from Philadelphia. He talked this week when he was in Green Bay that, hey, if he's a Giant, he's going to be a Giant. And he says, yeah, this was on ESPN last night. Philadelphia might be my home, but now I reside in New York.
Yeah, I'm all New York. New York getting everything from you. All the passion that I have, all the love that I have, all the excitement on third down, they're going to get loud. I'm going to get that big play, make my best pass rush, make that big explosive play.
Make the big explosive play. That's what they're expecting.
Yeah, that ice grill going on, man.
That's it. Here's Brian Daboll, who loves this kid.
He's got great quickness, bend. He's hard to block. He played off the ball the year before, and he has some instincts in that area as well. Smart.
All good. So we love the pick. They love the pick. Everything's good. Now, yesterday, one of the topics was about Phil. And the number. And you had the whole idea of John Mara having to call Phil.
Yeah.
And how that phone call would,
ESPN,
would go.
And ESPN had him superimposed in this.
Which is cool.
No, it's not.
Very interesting, though. So Carter went on the Micah Parsons podcast. This is clearly, I saw the video, clearly after the draft, after he was picked, because he's wearing the Giant hat and everything. And Micah, it was either there, because he had the whole NFL draft logo. And so he brought up this specific question.
You going to get that 11, right?
I don't know, bro. I got a different number in mind.
Oh, number? I'm heartbroken already. I told the people he's going to get that. I said we better have the best swap in the history of football. What number are you thinking, bro?
I don't know. 56 sound real good, but we got to have a conversation.
Entitlement generation, man. Entitlement generation. So I'm not down with that, man.
He wants 56.
I ain't down with that.
Wow. Here was Micah's reaction to that.
Dude, that would be pretty damn special.
Nah, if you get something like that, I get why you leave that. Hey, toss that. Leave that shit out.
Try some tradition somewhere else.
Hey, I respect the hell out of that, dog. That would be some legendary stuff. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, I don't respect any of it.
Right.
If
you're a total bust, then what?
John Maracle LT now?
Lars. No, it's not the cops. No.
It's John Mara. Oh, I scared you there.
Man, I'll tell you what. Micah says he respects it. I'm sitting here telling you I have nothing but a lack of respect if that happens or even ask for either like one of those numbers.
I don't like that at all. So they get Carter. All's good. Then they trade back into the first round to take Jackson Dart. Here was Brian.
Why don't they give him number 10?
You never know. We'll see what he asks for. Here was.
He wore the same number as Zach Wilson.
He's just lining up great.
Right. Number two.
Right. Wait till he bangs his mom's friend. It'll be perfectly aligned.
You know, he did play 45 games in college.
Two craps how many games he played.
He played in the SEC, dude. That's not playing with BYU.
You don't like
dude.
This guy either. Don't give me dude. Stop. You know it. I know it. Phil thinks he's pudgy, but now we got to walk stop. On eggshells because he's a giant. Makes me want to barf. It's really ridiculous.
Here is your clip with John Gruden on Barstool. Gruden and Dart talking about the snap count.
Let me see your snap count. Let me be honest with me because I see at USC, I see this guy. Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah. No, I want to hear the snap count.
Yeah.
Really? Every time?
Every time.
Do you have like a dummy clap or anything?
Yeah, we call it purple.
What's that? No shit. For 3 years, you've been clapping.
For 3 years, you've been clapping. Like, I could just see as soon as that ends and, like, says goodbye to Jackson, like, all right, Jackson, good luck, man. The door shuts. He looks at the production crew. That kid sucks, man. That kid sucks. Mark my word.
I don't know. You watch some of his highlights.
Suck the color out of a marble.
He can play football. He can throw.
Here we go.
See if he can transition to the NFL, which is the million-dollar question.
The one thing in his favor that Gruden did highlight was, which I'll grab for one of these hours, is the toughness and how he really, last second, will take the hit, and, you know, maybe to the detriment of his health. But
like I said, it wasn't like he was playing at BYU and playing against, you know, secondary talent. He was playing in the SEC.
They took Zach Wilson number two overall.
Right.
Right, with all those things that you're saying that there was marked against him. This guy, you know, all the way down here, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if they would have taken him number three overall, I could see you absolutely having a conniption, sure.
No. That's one of the misnomers. I've already talked about this. When you draft a guy in the first round, he's the future of your organization, period. So, like, the value thing doesn't matter. You've now decided that he is the future of our organization, whether you drafted him at 3 or 24 or whatever. Plus, you also made a trade that I don't think you needed to make.
Well, that's under debate, or up for debate, I should say. And the other thing, the reason that you would want to draft a kid in the first round is that if he does make it, it's the five-year thing. It's the five-year contract, and that's worth something.
The Jets chose Missouri.
Did you think he had lady glasses on last night?
No, that's like the new thing. You know,
what's the new thing?
That's those glasses that Pat Boyle wears.
Do you see his outfit today?
Yes, it's embarrassing.
I actually didn't know.
Absolutely embarrassing.
He looked like he was going to hit Venice, the weights at Venice Beach.
I mean, no sleeves, nothing.
Orange tank top.
I'm like, hey, dude.
He had a tank top on?
Yes. This is a place of work, you meathead.
I think a double take. I'm like, what is that? God love them. Anyway, the Jets took Missouri offensive tackle Armon Membu. Is that how we say it?
Membu. Yeah.
So here he was. He loves his new coach.
Oh yeah, Coach Flynn. Yeah, he a cool ass dude. Nah. I'm sorry, I'm still geek right now, but yeah, it was just we had some good talks.
You're probably allowed to call him a cool ass dude tonight, and then probably not after this, Armon. That's my tip for you.
But. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, that's how that goes. And then I'll have more on the Jets, obviously, throughout the course of the morning. I will give you one, though, from Shedeur Sanders, who did go undrafted in the first round. Here he was on social media.
We all didn't expect this, of course, but I feel like with God, everything possible. I don't feel like this happened. You know, for no reason. All this is, of course, fuel to the fire.
So fuel to the fire, see if he goes here in the second round, which will be later tonight. I will give you, don't have a lot of time, obviously, but I'll just give you one highlight. Really good Nick win last night in Detroit.
Hart looking, shot clock at 4. Brunson on the drive, stops, pulls up, jump shot, puts it in.
Jalen Brunson with a big bucket.
Analytics back up 5.
Well, he's Mr. Clutch, right? This is what we learned. Knicks did win by 2. They beat the Pistons 118-116. Brunson had 12 of his 30 in the fourth quarter. He also had 9 assists on the night. And Karl Anthony Towns really played a good game. 10 of 18 shooting, 31 points, 8 rebounds. Big block in the fourth quarter as well. Was very physical with Detroit in several different spots. And then you also had the issue with 0.5 on the clock late. With the horn, I'll have audio from that coming up, because that gave Detroit a real chance.
It did, yeah. And by the way, you know, the Knicks caught a break, no Isaiah Stewart.
True.
Right,
second
the inflammation.
Game in a row, though.
Yeah.
He didn't play game 2.
All
yet.
True, but they did a really good job in Cade Cunningham. Malik Beasley, who was talking a lot of smack, didn't shoot it well last night.
Oh, he was awful.
And Anobi was good defensive. It was actually a really good game.
I don't
game
think
to watch.
Josh Hart wants to shoot the ball either.
It's funny you say that. It looked like that.
He didn't want to shoot it.
There were so many times he got the ball in space and he was just looking to pass it. But he did a lot of good things with rebounding, and yeah. The Knicks are up 2-1. Game 4 will be Sunday in Detroit. The Thunder beat the Grizzlies 114-108, so they're down 3-0 as Memphis, and Ja Morant hit the deck hard, went out of the game with a hip injury. Clippers hammered the Nuggets 117-83, so they're up 2-1. Mets in Washington, the Yankees home for the Blue Jays, and the Devils play the Hurricanes Game 3 tonight at The Rock. And this report is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Talk some Knicks coming up in 10 minutes. A really nice win for them. And I was just thrilled with the way that they started the game and the way that they were playing throughout. But it got a little dicey at the end there. That would have been amazing in a bad way if things had worked out against them with the way that the end of the game happened and the buzzer going off and everything else. But the NFL draft last night, a lot of focus on the Giants, and the Jets are still doing their thing, man. Just quietly assembling a roster, going out and getting Armon Membo. And if you look at the entire offensive line, I mean, I think they're all first round picks outside of Tippmann, who was a second round pick. So they've really invested in the draft and these guys, the Joe Douglas regime, and now with Muji and Aaron Glenn. And you can't dislike anything about that. And we'll see what they do with the rest of the draft. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if like the teams that could still draft Shedeur Sanders, I think include potentially if he keeps dropping and then these guys look at value stuff, yeah. because Justin Fields, you know, could be the future, could not. I mean, I would still, small percentage, but I would still put the Jets on that list. It wouldn't be the most out of nowhere thing for me.
All right. So, you know, the Bengals actually took 3 players in the first round of the 84 draft before they finally got to me at number 38.
Yeah.
And I think they looked at me and they said, well, he's there. You know, Kenny Anderson's getting up there. He had been in his 14th year, and they had Turk Schonert behind him. And they didn't have, like, a future guy. And I think Sam Weiss said, well, you know, if we can't get Steve Young because he's already gone and he went to the LA Express of the USFL, Boomer's here. Let's go. Let's take him. You know, and that may be the situation that Shedeur is going to find himself in. And I don't, you know, this thing, because I lived it, I know exactly what Shedeur is feeling. And I know how difficult it is. And I know how hard it's going to be for him to wake up today. Now, I didn't have to sit on it for a whole night and watch, you know, this whole thing unfold the way it did. And then, you know, obviously have a camera in my face wondering, you know, what the hell happened. But because it all happened in the same day for me. But, you know, it's a little bit of a wake-up call and a little bit, I'm sure, a humble pie. And I don't know what else is going on around him. But and the way these guys are acting on TV last night, I mean, you're going to sit here and be a talking head, which is fine. And you're going to just look at his tape, maybe without meeting the kid. Now, Lewis Riddick does know the kid personally. That's the difference. You know, he knows him. So he's going to definitely, you know, speak highly of him. And I saw a couple other, you know, ex-NFL athletes saying the same thing about Shedeur, you know, off the field, and everything, was never in trouble, was always a good kid and always seemed to, you know, rise to the occasion. And everybody's kind of stunned about what's going on here. So there, I don't know if it has to do with his actual playing ability or if there's something else that we don't know.
Or it could be a combination of both. Now, you know, the whole Mike Tomlin thing, to me,
now, after seeing what happened and how he was just praising Shador more than any of the beat writers had ever heard him praise a player in his entire time there since 2007. Guys were saying that have covered him since the day he walked in the building. That was a Deion Sanders sort of like favor. That was a favor to Deion.
Yeah.
Is to let me pump this kid up because he's fallen. And if I put my respected name on liking Shador, maybe that'll help him. But he wasn't taking him either. He didn't want him. I mean,
so what are they doing for a quarterback? Or maybe they take him in the second round today.
They might. And, you know, some of these teams that passed on him in the first round, you know, could end up taking him later. I don't think that takes them out of Shador at that moment. But, you know, now it's also like, all right, so our second round pick or our third round pick is going to be the most talked about guy. Now we're going to start getting into that stuff about distractions and all of this. And,
right. You
know, I don't need this. He's not good enough for to be dealing with this pain in the ass thing.
Right. And by the way, you know, the Browns have multiple choices in the second round now.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't go there, then who the hell is taking him? You know, I mean,
somebody, you know, he'll end up getting drafted. Just the question is where and by whom.
Yeah, right. But the teams out there are dwindling by the minute as to who, like the Giants were one of them.
But you also have to remember you have a whole nother group of quarterbacks that still will all get drafted. And they may get drafted to places that have a legit starting quarterback in place, and they'll be looking to develop a young kid. I think the Giants are looking to develop Jackson Dart. Like, there's no pressure to start him right now. There is none. You have Russell Wilson. You have Jameis. Maybe Jameis ends up getting cut here, by the way. Because the Giants like Tommy DeVito. You're not going to keep four guys on the roster if you don't have to.
I mean, that would be a shame. I want to see Jameis Winston here. That would kind of be strange, though, wouldn't it? Like, why? I know he's not making a lot of money, but, like, that would seem like sort of, in a way,
right.
general manager malfeasance.
But you also realize now that, you know, now you understand why both of those older quarterbacks got one-year deals.
Yeah, right. And then they're not going to be here very long. We all know that. I'm sure Russell Wilson knows that. Even at this stage in his career, it's got to be pretty evident to him that he's not going to be the future Giants quarterback till he's 42 years old.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the Giants navigate this whole thing. That part of it's interesting to me. The other part of it that's interesting to me is that the fact that they picked up Kayvon Thibodeau's fifth-year option yesterday, right after they drafted, you know, Abdul Carter. So now you have what you'd like to think is a really good pass rush, but more importantly, you have an athlete on the field that may be able to go after Jalen Hurts, that may be able to go after Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
You have one of those guys that's a hybrid guy that can play off the ball, as Brian Daboll said, and you could see in a lot of his highlights, he's not always at the end of the line of scrimmage. He's coming from different places like Micah Parsons has done for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see him play for the Giants. I think he's one of these guys that could be electric from week one. I don't love the Lawrence Taylor thing. Remember that whole hullabaloo about it ended up being false? But when Susan Waldman reported that Clint Frazier, Yankees prospect, wanted Mickey Mantle's number. Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
And it ended up being a total misunderstanding. It was like, I never said that. Well,
we heard what Abdul Carter
did say. He wants,
I mean,
56.
Abdul Carter needs to walk that back and just say, look, I need to create my own legacy with my own number. Of course, these guys are, you know, Giants legends, and I don't want to go down this road again. I don't know if LT would probably say, yeah, you could do it, but give me $100,000, something like that. But to me, you got to protect those numbers, and there's a reason why you retired them. And then he should be looking for a number so he can have that number retired someday when he's done.